Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Chapter, actually, that, not a chapter, the first division of Psalms, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to be here. Like I said, my goal is at the end of this, by the end of this series, that you be sitting right here all over this building and that we can worship and have a great time together. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, King James Version reads it like this. Blessed is the man. Come on, somebody. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he, or she, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. I'm going to preach for the next couple weeks, few weeks, on the series, the message, the title, Planted, Fruit in Every Season. You may be seated. This is not a corona message. This is not a quarantine message. This is a life message. This is a message that every believer needs to hear. It's a message that will stand the test of time. It is a message that will produce in every season of your life if you will allow it to. I know that the people that are scattered here that are on our serving teams that have been coming the last five Sundays and the last few weeks, I know that a lot of our believers and family that are watching here today on Facebook Live or on the website, I know that you are planted people. I know that you are fruitful people. But can I encourage you that every one of us can put down our roots even further? Every one of us can grow stronger, wider, and taller. That we can do more than we've ever done before. We can receive more than we've ever received before. I purchased some land, Mandy and I purchased some land 3.5 years ago, and on that land there are two humongous oak trees that one of my friends who has been here all of his life, 80-some years old, tells us that those oak trees are somewhere between the age of 150 to 200 years. Those oak trees are so big that it would take 4 or 5 people to be able to put their arms around them. Those oak trees are probably 40 or 50 feet tall and 60, 70 feet wide. Their roots go down just as far down as they go up. And can I encourage you that you will only grow as strong up as you are strong down. And that you need to put your roots down. And this is not a get planted in a local church sermon. This is about getting planted in the things of God and getting planted and founded on Jesus Christ. The local church is important. And we've proven that the local church is more than just a building. It is a great and mighty people that love Jesus, that are called according to his purpose. But there's a lot of us that want the fruit-filled life without the root life. We want to grow big, but we don't want to grow deep first. And so throughout this series, I want us to get more planted than we have ever been before. And so I've said all of that to say this. Whoever's watching this today, whether it is live or whether you watch this in a few years archive, no matter what you're going through, God has called you to be planted. No matter what you're facing, God has called you to be planted. The more planted you are, the more prepared you are for whatever the enemy is going to come against you with. And when life comes against you, those that are planted will stand strong in adversity. Those that are planted will stand strong in the midst of craziness. There are people all around you right now that are panicking because of what is happening. But there are people in your life, and you need to identify those people right now. And maybe if you can't right now, look over the last 5 or 6 weeks. You need to look for the people that have not broke out into a cold sweat in the middle of corona. And I'm not talking about symptoms of the virus. I'm talking about people that have not panicked. People that have not thrown in the towel. People that have not begin to be depressed, people that have not begin to spout out all of the complaining and all of the fear and all of the hysteria that we see online and we hear for those of us that are still working and those of us that maybe have family members that are not planted like we are. You need to identify the people in this season who are strong. And you need to find them and lean into them and let them encourage you and you encourage them. I've never been more proud of the church. And when I say church, I'm not just talking about Living Way, and I'm so proud of Living Way. But I'm talking about the Big C Church, the church universally. I'm so proud of the church. The church is stronger. Our voice is louder. Our hand is helping and serving like never before. However, when you talk about a lot of believers, the fear, the panic, the murmuring, the complaining, it's unsettling. I'm not surprised when the world acts like the world. But I'm always surprised when believers who should know better act like the world. There is a better way. There is a new and living way, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I've got good news for you. Jesus did not come just to save you and take you to heaven. Jesus came so that you could bring a little bit of heaven to earth and not have to act and react like the world is reacting. You've got the Word of God in you. You've got the promises of God before you. You've got the Spirit on you and working from you and around you. You do not have to act like the world. Either God is God or he is not, and I believe he is. God is bigger than fear. God is bigger than financial ruin. God is bigger than any problem that we are facing. He's bigger than Corona. He's bigger than COVID-19. Nothing we are facing. Listen to this, church. If you're taking notes, write this one down. Nothing we are facing has changed the size or the power of our God. Our choices are this. We either magnify the problem or we magnify our praise. We either magnify the mess or we magnify the miracle. We either magnify fear or we magnify faith. We either magnify doubt or we magnify dominion. We either magnify panic or we magnify peace. We either magnify worry or we magnify worship. You choose what you magnify. Through this entire process, every day of your life, it's like you're walking around with a giant magnifying glass. And I told this to the young people last night. What you focus on becomes the biggest and the most major part of your life. And so when you focus on the problem seems to become bigger than God. Just like in your car, when you read the little lettering on your side mirrors that say, objects are closer than they appear. Some of us have magnified the problem in the last few weeks. And let's be honest, church, sometimes it's not just the last few weeks, but maybe the last couple years instead of magnifying. Have you ever heard an old church saint say, oh, come, let us magnify the Lord? What they're saying is I've got a choice today. And my choice today is this. I'm either going to magnify what I'm going through, or I'm going to magnify the God that is going to get me through. Come on, somebody. I'm going to magnify my problem. Nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to magnify Jesus. How do I do that? By praising his name. I'm not going to magnify the problem. I'm going to spend some time in prayer. And when I spend some time in prayer, I magnify God's voice in my life and in my spirit. I'm not going to magnify by complaining. I'm going to magnify by confessing the word of God. So our choice is we can magnify the problem or we can magnify our God. And I choose, and this church has chosen, along with millions of believers in times of calamity, I choose to magnify God, to make him bigger. If you want to throw a pity party, you don't even need to invite me because I'm not showing up. And if I show up, I'm going to turn all of that upside down. When you get around me, you're going to hear about the curve flattening. You're going to hear about what God is doing. You're going to hear about what God is going to do. Why? Because I am planted and Corona can't uproot me. I'm planted. Financial problems can't uproot me. I'm planted. You say, well, some big things are coming. That's fine because I got roots that go deep in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm planted. If you're watching online, type it out and tell them I'm planted. In the day that we are living in, it has taught us, if it's taught us anything, it's taught us that people are not as prepared as they thought they were on many levels. Physically, financially, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. However, you can start right this second to change all of that. You might, and I'm talking to somebody today by video, somebody by the live stream, and you're saying, I feel like I'm treading water and I can barely keep my head above water, and it feels like at any moment I'm going to be taken under. I'm here to tell you that you can change how you're feeling right now. You can start a brand new life right now. Jesus can become the captain of your boat. Jesus can elevate you to walk on the waves like Peter did. How do I do that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. You do that by getting planted. Not in a local church only, and I believe that there are millions of people in America that have been watching live online church the last 5 weeks that have not been committed, that have not been faithful, that have not been members, that have not been planted in local churches. And I'm here to prophesy that when the church opens up, all of these churches around us, including Living Way, we're going to see brand new people coming to God, brand new men bringing their families to church, brand new couples coming to church and making it a part of their church. I decree and I declare and I prophesy that in Jesus' name. And so I'm big on the local church. I'm big on the bride of Christ, who we are. I'm big on you showing up on Sundays and Wednesdays. And there are people parked out in the parking lot. They drove all the way to the church campus this morning to watch on their phones and their iPads the service. You say, well, they could have done that. There's something about getting as close to the altar as you can get. And so all of my Living Way peeps out in the parking lot, if you could just honk your horn a couple times right now, maybe we can hear you, but we're glad you're there. What am I talking about? I'm talking about people that love God so much that they are planted, they are involved, they are all in. And when you are all in God, guess what? He's all in you. So how do we do this? By getting planted, not in the local church only, but most importantly, by planting yourself in the hand of God. John 10, verse 28, it's a scripture that we hear quoted many times, portions of it quoted, but this is what Jesus would say, and it was right after he said, my sheep know my voice. He said, I give unto them eternal life. We're talking about the believers. We're talking about the planted. They shall never perish, and I love how he ends this statement, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. When you are planted, we're not talking about being planted at Living Way first. We're talking about being planted in the hand of God. And when you plant yourself in the hand of God, church, guess what? There is no weapon that is formed against you that will prosper, and no man can pluck you out, which means in God's hand, you cannot be touched by anything in this world. The only way for you to leave God's hand is it has to be your decision to jump. Can't be pushed. Can't be provoked. It's got to be your decision. I'm leaving. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've got too much invested in the hand of God, in the kingdom of God, in my life. My marriage is in that hand. My family, my children are in that hand. My emotional stability, come on, church, is in that hand. My finances are in that. I'm not shy to talk about it. I just had the best financial week of 2020 in the middle of all of this mess. I've got international things going on, things happening here in the States. Man, I'm fired up and I'm excited, and I'm not going to be quiet about that. Why? Because I'm in the hand of God, and the hand of God does not, Corona can't mess with those that are in the hand of God. I'm not naive to what's going on around us, but I do know this, that I'm planted, and so I'm not shocked that my family's healthy. I'm not shocked that my family's wealthy. I'm not shocked. Why? Because I'm anointed. I am planted. You are planted. We are planted, and the planted are prepared for anything. My God, I'm preaching. The cameraman just got up from his seat. He's either stretching or he's praising. Love you, Michael. I know you're praising. When I plant myself in God's hands, write this down. When I plant myself in God's hands, I surrender myself to God's will. When you put yourself in God's hand, you have to take your hands off of the steering wheel. See, and that's where a lot of us, we get it mixed up. We want to be in God's hand, and then we want to tell him what to do with our lives. But that's not how this works. When you surrender, and Pastor Becky said it, when we sang these songs today about take me through the fire and burn, God, those, and when we say those things, what we're saying is, God, there's some things that I don't know if they're from you or not, and so I need the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn those things. So when you surrender and you plant yourself in God's hands, you surrender to God's will. But I love this. When I surrender myself to God's will, I can produce fruit in every season of my life. Let me tell you, just in this time of quarantine, and I was big and bold about it. Man, I'm an essential. Isn't it amazing how I'm essential because we lead a nonprofit and I can come to church anytime I want. I've been here at the office working all that. And so I was telling Mandy, I said, man, this quarantine, even because we're essential, I can go to the church and work. And we've been doing all these things. And then it was just like God just smacked me in the head and just shut down the internet at Living Way. So I can't work here anymore. And we've been having internet. And listen, y'all need to pray for AT&T. Y'all need to pray that they send the right people. Y'all need to pray that we keep our calm and composure. Because we want to not only be able to live stream in excellence, we need to be able to work. And so for the last few days, I've been working at home. And I've been working remotely because my internet at the house is still fine. And so God got his way anyway. He said, listen, I need you to be quarantined. Well, I'm essential. God said, no, I'm essential. You work for me, and I need you to work at home. So he put me in my office. Now, my office at home, I got big French doors that I close on that thing, and I'm dead to the world. It's quiet in there. And God has been rolling one phrase. And if you watched last night our live at Catalyst, you heard me just mention it at the end during counterculture, that where God has me is he said, Brandon, this is the time to dig in. And when I hear that phrase, dig in, I hear planted. Well, God, I'm already planted. God said, I know you're planted, but let's put down bigger roots. Let's put down your roots further. Why? Because bigger things are coming that are going to be, listen, we love to talk about the big things in our future, but you realize that before you get to the big things in your future, you're going to have to fight a big giant in your future. So God said, why don't you prepare now in this time called quarantine, in this time where everything is slowed down and you're stuck at your house, why don't you use this time in times of quiet, solitude, isolation to get yourself ready? Because when the doors of the church fling open and when business is usual out in the marketplace, I'm going to need a stronger Brandon. I'm going to need a more anointed Brandon. I'm going to need a better planted Brandon. Why? Because the wind is coming. The waves are coming. But for those of you that are planted and are using this season to dig in, you will not fall over. You will not be plucked up. You will not be plucked out. You will not be moved. You will be steadfast in your faith. This is where I want to go for just a couple minutes. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. This is where Paul is talking about the armor, full armor, putting on the full armor of God. When Paul talks about the full armor of God, realize this, that Paul is matching, in the armor he's talking about is not the Israelite armor, but he is comparing it to the Roman soldiers and the centurion's armor. And so he goes through all of the armor, and that's not what I really want to talk about, because we're talking about digging in and getting planted at a new level. I want to talk about Ephesians 6:15, and your feet will be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, that word shod for layman probably doesn't mean much to you, but being a country boy, that is what you say, I got my horse shod. I put shoes on him. And so when you put shoes on a horse, you are giving them traction. You are giving them stability. But when Paul talks about being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, isn't it amazing that he could have used anything to talk about your feet, but when he talked about your feet, he talked about peace. It is amazing, and I love this, that wherever I go, because of who I am and whose I am and what I know in Christ, everywhere I go, I live in peace. Everywhere I go. That's why Paul would say, I've learned to be content with or without, when I have plenty, when I don't have enough. Why? Because everywhere my feet are, I have peace. I want to encourage somebody today, make it a part of your prayer life starting right now moving forward, to pray out this armor every day of your life and say, God, shod my feet, wrap my feet with the gospel of peace. Now, when the Roman soldiers would put on their boots, there was spikes in their boots that they could literally dig down into the earth that would give them a better foothold, so that no matter what was coming at them, they would not be pressed back or pushed back. But because they planted themselves and were shod the right way, they could stand their ground. Living Way, I want to encourage you. Get shod with the things that God wants you to have. Put peace around your feet. Get vision. get direction from the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? So that here on April 19th, you can put your foot down and dig in and say, God, it doesn't matter what comes against me. I'm going to stand here in faith. I know that there are big things coming at me, but it's no greater than the thing that is on the inside of me. And because I'm planted, I can take the storm. I can take the warfare. I can win the battle. Why? Because I'm digging in and I'm planted. Get planted. Stay planted. You know, it's very unnerving to see people make mistakes. And we see this in every area of life. And I say we, everyone that's watching or in this room today, it's unsettling and unnerving to see people make mistakes that they don't know are mistakes because they're in the middle of it. But because you have an outside perspective, that's why it's so important that you get outside perspective. That's what accountability and mentorship is. It's an outside perspective of somebody that doesn't have any skin in the game. Somebody that can give you an unadulterated opinion of what they see, what you're doing, what you're going through, the choices you're making. And it's so unnerving to watch people make decisions and you wish that they could see what you see. And so I've been doing this now for 20 years of my life. I've been a youth pastor now for 17 years, working with young people. It's amazing how selfish parents can be. That right when their kid makes friends, which is hard to do in 2020, right when their kid starts coming to the altar, starts worshiping, starts serving, their parents get offended. Come on now. Uproot their kids. And when I say uproot, that's the word for something you do to something that is planted. You uproot your kids because you got offended, because bitterness happened in your heart. Something happened, you uproot your family and move them somewhere else and then have the audacity to ask God why your kids aren't doing good when they were doing good, they were producing fruit, but right when they started producing fruit, you uprooted them and moved them somewhere else. And we might not be talking about kids. Maybe we're talking about a job. Maybe we're talking about a relationship that right when it starts doing good, you sabotage it because the devil gets you distracted. Can I encourage somebody that is watching today, once you put your feet down, once you get your roots planted, come hell or high water, you need to do everything you can do to stay there. I'm talking to somebody in another city, in another state, that you're saying, when all this is over, I'm going to leave the church I'm going to because pastor didn't call me and nobody reached out to check on me. Can I tell you, you've been at that church for 10 years. Don't uproot yourself because of 5 weeks that you feel slighted. Go ahead and forgive that pastor. Go ahead and reach out and let them know, I love you. I'm praying for you. I'm doing okay. But don't let the devil uproot you. The reason you are planted is to produce fruit. And the devil doesn't want you to produce fruit. And so the best thing he can get you to do is to uproot yourself. Remember, the devil can't uproot you. You have to uproot yourself. Last few years, a family whose kids here at Living Way doing great. They uprooted and left, only for me to find out through the grapevine that they're complaining because their new church doesn't have good kids ministry and youth ministry. Come on, baby. You made that decision. You knew they didn't have good children's ministry when you left. Guess what? You got Pastor Mandy and an incredible team on Wednesday nights that are pouring into your children. We got kid greeters, kid ushers, kids praise team. You've got a youth service and a youth team on Saturday nights that rivals Hillsong and Elevation. And so I'm here to tell you, when you get planted, stay planted. Can I tell somebody that you've been at Cornerstone for 20 years and you've been watching us the last 5 weeks? We don't want you here. Stay at Cornerstone. Oh, I hope you're amen and better there than they are here. It's getting tight, but that's how I know it's right. I'm planted. I don't want to go. I get mad at Dish Network. I get mad at them about every 6 months. But you know how they win me over? They tell me, Mr. Fender, you've been a part of our, and they always call it a family. I'm not family. I'm just a dollar sign to you, but go ahead and call me family. Mr. Fender, you've been family with us since 2003. How about we just reduce your bill? How about we give you this? How about we give you that? You know why they do that? Because I'm planted. They don't do that for everybody. They do. Now, if Dish Network rewards the faithful, come on now. If Dish Network rewards, if you've got a reward and a loyalty program with a certain place because you shop a lot there, if they give you that, then how much more is God going to reward and God going to bless the faithful? I want to encourage you, get planted. I'm talking to somebody who you're ready to throw in the towel on your marriage. Be led of God. Maybe now's not the time. Let God lead you. You've got 8 years, 10 years, 14 years invested. Can I just encourage you to talk to God one more time and see what he would say? I have people that you're getting ready to leave your job. Can I remind you that people have lost their jobs that would love your job? Can I just encourage you? You've been planted at that job for 6 years. Maybe now's not the right time. Let me encourage you, wherever you put your foot down, get planted and stay planted. There's rewards in your planting. Just a couple more minutes. There's rewards in your planting. Taking notes, write this phrase down. No root leads to no fruit. No root leads to no fruit. There's a lot of people who complain about the lack of fruit in their life, even if they don't call it that. I don't have enough money. It's amazing to me, all the ballers that I see on Instagram. It's amazing to me, all of the people that are out there living the high life on Instagram, acting like everything's okay, and it's the same people that have been complaining because they ain't received their stimulus yet. Come on, if you're balling, you can wait just a few more days on that $1,200. But can I just help somebody? Can I help somebody real quick? This has nothing to do with what I'm preaching about. This has everything to do with your life. That $1,200 is not for new Yeezy. That $1,200 is not for you to go buy a new big screen TV unless you're going to watch Living Way on it every Sunday morning. Let me encourage you, put that $1,200 to the side for a rainy day. Let me encourage you, first thing you need to do is send $120 to your church's tithe, whatever church you belong to. But don't just waste that. See, a lot of us are complaining, I don't have enough of this, I don't have enough of that, I wish I had that. What you're saying is God, I'm lacking fruit. And God is saying, hey, I'm lacking root. Because the further you put root down, the more fruit you're going to grow. Man, I go into Tractor Supply, I go into Walmart, I go into Home Depot, and they got all these trees out on the sidewalk that they're selling. Sometimes they're shade trees, sometimes they're fruit trees. And I'm always amazed that sometimes the fruit trees have little fruit on them. Have a little apple on them, a little peach on them. They're not even in the ground, and they produce fruit. But that fruit will die. That fruit will never get big enough because the roots aren't. Because it hasn't found a place to put down roots. If you're going to be planted, you're going to produce fruit. If you're not planted, and when I say planted, I'm not talking about a six-week planting. I'm talking about planting. Where your roots have a chance to take hold so when the wind comes, it doesn't blow you over. So the first trouble sign that comes doesn't wreak havoc in your life. Put down roots. I guarantee you, when you become more root-focused, the fruit will just begin to appear. But some of us are so concerned with our fruit that we do not take any time making sure that the root is taking hold. I believe that somebody's watching today is hearing what I'm saying and saying, Pastor Brandon, that's a word that I've not been planted. I've been in the things of God and out of the things of God. I've been in there when I need him and out when everything's good. And I want to encourage you, be committed to God at all times. We're going to get back to Psalm 1 next week. And when we get back to Psalm 1, he gives us three things that we need to do to stay, to get planted and to stay planted. But for those of you that are in this house, stand on your feet. Pastor Becky's coming to play. For those of you that are at your house, wherever you're watching from today, we're getting ready to pray. We're going to pray a couple prayers, the prayer of salvation, and then I'm going to pray for that level of commitment, for that level of planting. I'm going to pray for strong believers to get stronger. I'm going to pray for the anointed to get more anointed. I love praying prayers like this. God, give me fresh fire. God, give me fresh oil. Give me fresh anointing. Man, between services, I just became friends with a guy that we're an acquaintance with. Preached a couple conferences together, been in a couple conferences together, and I was just encouraged. I watched 30 seconds of a live he was doing, and he said, I just want to remind the church that through all of this time, when there's times of calamity, there's always a fresh oil that pours, a fresh oil that flows. Man, that fired me up because here I'm a believer. I've been walking with God for decades now. But here I am saying, God, I've been living and planted for a while, but God, I want that fresh oil to flow. And I believe that as I put down roots, that I'm going to begin to see new fruit, things I've never seen before, things I've never tasted before. I believe God wants to do that for you. Now, talking about planted, producing fruit in every